Steve, I was reading this article the other day and it just blew my mind on a number of levels.
Yeah.
The first was I didn't even know there was such a thing as, or a person, I should say, as a change ecologist.
Mm.
But at Flinders University, Professor Corey Bradshaw is just that.
Okay.
And in the article, he was discussing the day our universe changed.
Yeah, what, about 2 months ago?
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought it'd be a great idea to bring him on and talk to us about that. Yeah. G'day, Professor.
Yes, good morning.
In what way, Professor, immediately? I mean, I guess because this is absolute global, what do you see the immediate change?
Well, obviously, the first is going to be a rapid change in our economies, and we're seeing that now. I mean,
yep.
The biggest crashes since the GFC. But I think there's going to be a longer-term impact, not just your standard crash followed by a slow recovery. We're going to see very different ways of, at least I hope anyway, of how we source our products and how we source our food supplies in particular.
Is that because we've become so reliant on this web of the world?
Import-export, isn't it?
Yeah, that we can't survive on our own, and that reliance is now going to be our undoing, so to speak.
Well, yeah, very much could be. I mean, it's not just disease, of course. Disease is in this case, is an extreme scenario, but we're working on a background where we're getting more and more resource shortages, and we get more and more extreme events. I mean, the bushfires of this summer is another good example, followed by quickly by floods. So we can have these massive shocks to the system that disrupt the normal supply chains that then require us to think about how our products are sourced and how they're produced. I mean, for a good example is wine in Australia. I mean, most of our wine is shipped overseas. If suddenly that capability was lost, we'd have this massive glut of wine, not to mention a lot of very poorly winemakers. I'm a bit of a winemaker myself, so this is near and dear to my heart. Although I only sell locally because I'm such a small producer. But when you increase your production to the point where you absolutely rely on an overseas market, not to say that overseas markets are bad, it just means that if we rely on them too much, we are very susceptible to even minor shocks to the system.
It's human nature in general, isn't it? Even if you get down to infrastructure of building a city, the human nature is not forecasting things that can go wrong. It's just build on things when it's good, and then when it goes wrong, everyone's hands go in the air going, whoa, what are we going to do now?
Well, part of it is our corporate structure as well. I mean, we have a very much leaning towards a multinational corporate structure where goods and profits flow to a very small number of people. And our shareholder system is actually mainly responsible for this. So unless we had a more distributed ownership profile that was putting emphasis on local management and local ownership, we're always going to be pushed into that kind of scenario.
So in your opinion, if the borders closed for a long period of time, no one knows at this point in time, are we able to be self-sufficient? Can we make the medical supplies? Can we make the drugs our citizens need? Are we able to continue operating as the society we've come to know and love?
Well, I'll address your last point first. No, I don't think so. I think we can adapt quickly. I will say, though, that our supreme lack of manufacturing in this country, again, forced by this sort of overseas outsourcing as a more a cheap and profit-driven goal, means that we can't even produce basic things like vehicles anymore. We're completely at the mercy of overseas markets for some of our basic supplies. Now, in terms of food production, we're probably going to be okay for a while. I mean, Australia's kind of blessed in that sense, but even say, for example, our seafood industry, most of our best seafood is sent overseas almost immediately, and this is why you know our fish is so expensive in the supermarkets. We also don't seem to really have a good handle on the locavore movement. I mean, some people get it in that, you know, it's not just about being responsible from a say carbon emissions perspective, but a lot of people are keying into the idea that if you source your food locally, that it tastes better because it tends to be fresher. And but if we had a greater appreciation for eating locally and eating seasonally and not demanding that we get mangoes in July from Mexico, then we might be in a better position.
You think, though, when we get through this, and we will get through this, it doesn't matter what the world and universe throws at, we will get through it, whether it's bad ending or whatever, but we will. Do you think that'll make a lot of people rethink how the world is run?
Well, one would hope so, but I'm already getting the impression that now that the main bushfire crisis has passed, that we've sort of already started to forget
the kind of lack
of infrastructure and the lack of support that we had for that. So I'm not too optimistic in that sense. I mean, we're going to see a lot more of these shocks as the climate warms and as we become more and more open to these large perturbations. And this is just a really good example of why our systems are weak.
Yeah, and you put it in the right terms. When we talk about the bushfires, the other thought I had was dams. We were all screaming when, you know, we were on level 2 and 3 water shortages, and some places still are, that we need dams. We need dams in the right places.
As soon as we get water, we forget.
We've forgotten about it. Yeah. Where's the plans? So,
Australia's classic there. We use about 5 times the global average in terms of per capita water consumption.
Yeah.
We are the driest inhabited continent, and we use 5 times the global average in water. We really have to think our water usage and more efficient transportation of it.
Basically, it boils down to the human nature, the human condition that we are as a race. Doesn't matter how smart or whatever you are, we tend to just, when it's good, we enjoy it. When it's bad, we freak out.
Well, so there are a lot of very clever people out there trying to think about ways to reduce the impact of these shocks, but it requires political will as well as a better education for people to understand that, you know, when it's all good, it's not going to stay that way for long.
Professor Bradshaw, appreciate your time. Take care of you and let us know the name of your wine.
Yeah. It's probably too small for you to have heard of.
No, it doesn't matter. We still like to sample things, Professor.
Yeah, of course. I'll think about sending a bottle.
All right. Take care of you. Bye-bye.
See, that's what it's like, though, too. You know what all of those things we just talked about doesn't get? Votes.
Yeah, I know.
It's true.
Yeah.
Right? If you come out and say, we'd want to do it, doesn't get votes.
Yeah.
And that's why it won't ever happen.
Mm.